On the beginning, it felt terribly chaotic. It was very stressful.
The volume of just very sick patients in that area, and every bed was full.
I would describe it as the experience of extreme humanity, where the frontiers between life and death are almost invisible.
I'm Judith Dimmont, and I'm a theatre producer. Earlier this year, I was about to produce a piece of theatre adapted from Christy Watson's nursing memoir, The Language of Kindness. But inevitably, this has been stalled until the return of live performance. Instead, our work has been made in quarantine in the form of this programme.
The usual sort of day-to-day jobs seem to evaporate, and so every patient you're going to, you're having a blue light into hospital because they're critically ill.
Alarms from the ventilator, the kind of whoosh of air, the three-tone beep of the filter as well that we hear. And the main thing is the rustle of the hazmat suits. I was noticing as I was walking around, it was kind of this like shh, 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 like every time I was walking.
You might get one or two, but you don't get 16 of them. That's the unusual thing.
Frontline nursing was suddenly front page news. We interviewed a group of nurses about their experience of the pandemic and how, on reflection, it may have changed them. These interviews took place during lockdown, on Zoom calls, on mobile phones and on microphones with very long poles.
And you're so tired and I don't know, you just run on adrenaline. And you sometimes sit down and you would moan to your colleague and you would say, oh my God, you know, I can't do this anymore. And then take 5 minutes, maybe eat a chocolate, and you would just get up and you would go and you would do it.
I've always wanted to care and look after people. Yeah.
I'm going to pause you just so you can press stop on your voice record and then press start again to get a new file going.
I do have this bottomless, insatiable need to care and love. Love is huge. And the bandages and the wounds are there, but for me, it's about getting past that and touching the soul.
Nursing as a profession? One of the nursing theorists used to say, it's a science, and then another theorist said it's an art, and I think it's a blend of both. It's a holistic experience, but at the heart of it is compassion and empathy. It might even be the beating heart of an institution, nursing.
Writer Stephanie Jacob listened to the interviews, and her response is the poetry sequence Shifts, supported by Gareth Fry's soundscape. In amongst the readings, you'll hear some of the nurses' voices themselves.
At the handover, when the moon's a pale fingernail and foxes slink under garden sheds dragging their night's haul, and the security guard waves from his post then wraps cold hands round his coffee, when the birds are singing importantly of love and food and love again, and the paramedic waits to be blue-lit, scrolling through photos of his kids, and the cleaner fills her mop bucket, humming her sister's favourite tune. In the unit, the radio switched on to signal night has turned to day and blue-wrapped figures huddle. If you peer through the door glass, made airtight with strips of black and yellow hazard tape, it may look like a space station where astronauts move silently with those long underwater strides. But there's never silence here. Monitors warn, saturations dropping, syringe pumps bleep, empty, empty, empty. Filters advise, change now. Children, spouses, parents, doctors ring, ring, ravenous for news. Ventilators beep, adjustment needed. And underneath, another sound that whooshes in and whooshes out and whooshes in. Gloved, gowned, visored, we slide between the human and machine, indistinguishable. watching. All I hear is my breath, feel my breath on my face. Suits, visors, surreal. I don't recognise friends. Sweat runs down my back. Visors fogging up. Why? It must be a leak. God, a leak. Around my mask, where? How? If anyone disconnects now, I'm exposed. Someone coughed. Now I'll get it. I've got it. Breathe. You know how to do this. I don't know. I don't know. No one knows how to. Breathe. Slow. Deep. You're fine. This isn't fair. Shh. Breathe, yes? One breath at a time. You've just arrived in ICU, gripping the bed. I can't hear you, you say. I'm really, really scared. I ask you random things to let you know, under my sci-fi disguise, a person breathes. I brush your teeth, your thick black hair, use things from home. Though gradually your hands release the rails, your eyes hold mine and won't let go.
We finally woke you after what dreams? What weeks of dreaming, riding waves that rolled curling over your head, never once breaking you alone inside the wave? You couldn't hear us or see our lips. What creatures did we seem to make you cry out like that? Let me go, hands wild till scrambling, we wrote on boards. You're safe in hospital. And you sank back, trembling.
Under my visor, over your mask, our eyes reach like flowers for the light. When they meet, the pull is strong as a calf's sucking a finger. Things aren't equal here, but believe our gaze is the thread out of this labyrinth.
Then they tweet it's a hoax, a conspiracy. It isn't real. They rage at lockdown. I just see the patients I nursed who've died. I can't listen to that stuff. I want to suck up all those stupid characters, blast them into space, where they can bob eternally silent.
Getting your dad into the ambulance. I'm not sure you know how sick he is. No visiting. Stood in the street. Barefoot in pyjamas. You look so young. How shall I let you know right now to take your time saying goodbye?
Dream 17, mountain ledge. Roped together, struggling to breathe, the air so thin. We edge along the path, a team, we'll do this. But the woman in front glances round, over her mask, her eyes are a total stranger's. I slip and we start to fall.
From the top deck of the 63, I can almost lean into the candles of each horse chestnut tree. nature cracks on oblivious. I want to thank her, that unstoppable green.
After we've shaved him and his cheeks smell as good as morning, we send you his photo, giggling as we write the caption. Today, your man looks finer than Idris Elba.
You were the one always singing and smiling. Now our hearts break a little more. We miss your music, songs to reassure your patience. You soothed them in their sighing. When things got hard, you wouldn't stop trying up ahead of us, first out through the door. You were the one always singing and smiling. Now our hearts break a little more. While we clap, we remember your dying, while we struggle on as never before. It's your loving eyes I choose from the store of memories to spur me on, crying you were the one always singing and smiling.
Dream 29. Extubation. He sits up suddenly, pulls the tube roughly from his throat, coughs, says hoarsely, I didn't want to die alone. I say, but I was there. He says, I didn't know you.
When you call us angels, angels have green gold wings that brush the ground softly. They throttle dragons. Their faces can't be imagined. They change shape at will. Remember, they closed paradise. Flaming down the sky, prettier than fighter planes. They explode and never stop burning. Look, I have no feathers, just two knuckles of bone, incapable of flight. No fantastic powers. Some days I am so scooped out I have no power. But this is what we do, what we trained for. We have a name.
It's such an important role and it's an important profession. And, you know, I do say it's a profession rather than a vocation because, you know, we have a high level of education and, you know, the nursing profession has a lot to offer and something that I couldn't see myself doing anything else.
Maybe that's what it is, the loss of control. I mean, we deal with that quite a lot in cancer already, when you have to sort of admit that you don't know exactly what's going on, or yeah, because we still don't really know the nature of this virus and exactly how it works, and we're learning new things every day, and so in that way the rules change every day. So maybe that is the hardest thing, is not being in total control, because I think as healthcare practitioners we like to be in control.
I don't think any of us has processed it in any sort of a way yet. But there's probably a number of thoughts or just feelings that kind of sometimes creep up or pop up very randomly, I dare say. With me, usually it happens in the night or in the evening when I'm trying to fall asleep. I probably had a proper insomnia. And it was 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. I would be lying in bed, but no sign of sleep coming. I would have been dead tired, and I wouldn't even be able to free my mind to even think about something nice, something different, about a different place. Because somewhere at the back of my mind, there would be completely different images and even fears or thoughts from that same day popping up. I couldn't shake any of those.
I mean, I never really imagined I would have to hold a phone up to a patient's ear so that their loved ones could, well, say their last words to them.
You've got scratchy stuff on your face, your nose is getting sore, the backs of your ears are getting sore from the mask.
So I think for the first couple of shifts, actually, I know I was hyperventilating.
You can barely hear your colleagues speak. And that, you know, you're literally having to yell at each other.
And they can't hear very well what you're saying. You know, you're not getting anywhere. Talking a new language. Mask language.
Doffing to pee and drink, the two tight masks come off. Her face is creased, crushed, dented, like fight marks.
Underneath always, t-shirt from home. A small way to hang on to who I am all day. Today, it's dream wife, thrashing their guitars, laughing recklessly at life, putting heart in me.
Our hands, palms, backs, sides make us smile. So cracked, you take them for snakeskin or crocodile. You'd make some good boots from our hides.
5 of us come to turn one onto his front as carefully as if he were a cobweb.
Before you go on the ventilator, we FaceTime your daughter. I hold the iPad while you marshal your tiny strength and smile. Surfer, about to take a giant wave.
Where's my daughter? Why has she just left me here? Why doesn't she come?
Dream 44, window. I sing softly, stroke her forehead, her hair. I'm her daughter, husband, sister. Live, I whisper. I walk to the window to rest my mind one moment on the sky. That's when she slips away.
On my day off, hands deep in washing up, I shout at the radio, the walls, the cupboards. My boyfriend hurries in. Without thought, I'm hurling a wet plate that shatters, cracks the plaster. He steps back, shocked. I'm shouting, I can't do my job. How can I do my job when they don't know I'm human underneath that stuff? Stuck at the door, he's got to social distance. He says, you're doing it. I know you are. He spreads his arms. I'm hugging you now, okay? Really tight. I think it's that bit makes us burst into tears.
Like ropes flung across a gorge, we connect you through the ether, where a tinny voice sings tenderly, and another whispers a prayer, and another falters through a loved story, and another chants a sacred verse, and another only breathes, but each breath says, I love, I love, I love. And holding the phone, we learn again how special our job is.
From the hospital roof, I watch a cloud sliding overhead, staring so hard they're coming closer. I want to be taken up, slide across the city, and come to somewhere green and fall as rain.
You don't have long now. An old man, he struggles into PPE to sit with you. Says, I won't come back. Says, I want to be told the moment she goes. We speak on the phone 3 or 4 times in the next hours so he feels more like he's here with you. I play your favourite, Otis Redding. Talk about your garden, going travelling. Just before you die, he wants someone to say, rest now, I love you. And I manage it. Of course, it's not the same as him quietly telling you. Then I stand beside you, one long moment, wanting to open all the windows. Later, the house subsides, just a little. In the old walls, new cracks.
Now the clapping stopped. Do you think of us? Beating heart of the hospital. We're still here.
We're still here.
We're still here.
We are still here.
If you care, demand for us the means to care for you.
The sun's setting out there. I take him tea and we try to name the different colours while a lone blackbird sings like a boy in the rigging who swings inside the storm.
The bond's unbreakable. No matter where the nurse, in other cities, other countries, each loss our loss. Our kinship wraps the world. All of us so tired and scared, struggles done, those still to come, entirely shared. Muscular with love, golden net of threads so fine, helps us rise tomorrow and start again.
At the handover, when bats skitter in the changing light and the porter trundles a wheelchair whistling through his teeth, when health workers meet and cross like waves, coming in and heading home, home, where I'll jump on the prayer mat to thank God another day's safely done. Home, the hotel, where I'll order room service, then FaceTime the kids. Home, where the dog and I sit watching ghosts flit through the room. Then in the unit, the radio's switched off to signal day has turned to night and newly blue-wrapped figures huddle, watching. Among machines that beep and warn and bleep and ring, and underneath another sound that whooshes in and whooshes out and whooshes in.
I feel today mentally and physically exhausted. We've been stretched thin. You know, all this kind of double everything. We haven't really switched off. I think maybe further down the line we'll have time to just sit down and think, well, how have I come out of this? I think today, I can say that as a nurse, I've changed because it has raised issues that were never raised before. I mean, I kind of want to compare it to sort of war zone where we're fighting something, but we're also in there with our own protection. So that has some impact.
Especially now, at the height of the pandemic, yeah, that if you don't feel jaded and you think, God, do I really want to do this anymore? Yeah, they're lying if they say they've never had those thoughts. I think most of the people that I've spoken to have questioned it at times because it's got very demanding. It's quite weird. I look at my colleagues that have been in the job 30, 40 years, and now I don't think a lot of us could last the same amount. I don't think I could last 30, 40 years in this job. It has made me question at times, but no, I still love the job. I think it's the best job in the world.
I think it's probably a lot of emotions all together simultaneously. I've definitely felt angry and... but I think right now, this second, sitting here talking to you, the main thing I feel is hopeful. But that's probably my blind optimism coming to the fore. But I am hopeful that we can, you know, I'm very encouraged by the bravery of my colleagues and their ability to adapt to the situation and support each other and keep going forward. And then I also am hopeful that it will lead to a lot of positive change in the profession, that, you know, problems that have been thrown up will mean that we can support each other better in the future, plan better, prepare ourselves a bit better, and support our patients better as well. Yeah,
it's going to cost us in terms of, you know, the nursing workforce, in terms of psychologically, it will do, and we'll only know that in time in terms of what that will look like and how it manifests. And do we have the capacity to deal with that distress at the time when the service is under pressure and our first duty is to care for the people, rightly so, care for those people that are vulnerable? So we kind of almost have to hold back ourselves. Because remember, the staff themselves possibly have their own health and mental health issues too. So where do we go? So I feel we're all hurting. We're all wounded. It's pretty deep stuff.
I don't know. I imagine a year from now, I'm going to look back and I'm gonna think I'm never gonna be able to forget this, even if this is the only moment in life when we have to deal with COVID, and never again. Unless if I get dementia at my old age, I don't think I will ever forget about a single moment that I have been through during this, well, let's say these 2.5 months, yeah. And not that I think this is the end of it, but nobody will ever forget, I'm pretty sure.
In Shifts, we heard from nurses and healthcare workers Charles, Emmeline, Haseem, Joan, Lily, Mel and Sasha. The poems were by Stephanie Jacob and were also read by Caroline Katz, Annie Domingo and Siobhan McSweeney. Sound design was by Gareth Fry and additional research by Natasha Friedman. Shifts was produced by Judith Dimond and Julian Wilkinson and was a Wayward production for BBC Arts Culture in Quarantine, supported by Arts Council England and The Space.